The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. James chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." What a great verse. When we lack wisdom, when we don't know what to do, we can come to God and pray and say, "Lord, show me." You know, wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. Now, I have been praying for President Trump and all the decisions that he's making in the team that he's building around him, that God would give him wisdom, supernatural wisdom, as he makes selections and taps different people for different positions. And so we want to talk about that in this first segment especially. And I've invited my good friend, Dr. Scott Coulter, who is the founder and president of the Danbury Institute. And he keeps his finger on the pulse of what's going on in America. And he is fighting for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and the American values that have made this country so great. And so I wanted to talk to him about some of these appointments. So, Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor, always so glad to be with you and glad to talk to you on this side of the election again. We've talked several times before, but grateful to be on this side of it all now.
Yeah, so Scott, I haven't talked to you since the historic victory on Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning. And so initial thoughts about Trump winning, were you surprised, were you shocked, or did you feel like that was going to happen?
Well, I did feel like it was going to happen. About a month out, the polls all started to kind of move our direction, and typically polls are skewed the other direction in a lot of ways, and so we were gaining an optimism several weeks out. A couple days before, those were strengthened, and so we felt pretty good going into it. But I don't know about you and your listeners, Pastor Jeff, but I was very nervous about some of the shenanigans that seemed to take place in 2020 and even in past elections, that I was unwilling to become optimistic or to become overconfident in any way there. So we watched, moment by moment as this came in with a lot of trepidation, watching it play out to see exactly what happened. And I was expecting it to take several days. So I was very encouraged to have a result that night and to then see the confession speech from the vice president the next day, played out much more quickly than we thought it would in some ways there. So grateful for that outcome, certainly.
Well, I read a quote, I think, on Tuesday from Dinesh D'Souza, where he was talking about he felt like that evil spirit that has been upon our country seemed to have been broken with this Trump victory. I was thinking just this morning, Scott, that, Trump is not the candidate that we would choose if we were God, but God chooses. He doesn't check with us before he does what he does. But it's hard to make the case that God's hand is not on President Trump. They've tried everything. They've thrown the kitchen sink at the guy, even shooting at him and coming within a hair's breadth of blowing his brains out. But God seems to have protected him and done the impossible with him for a reason. I think the Lord is giving America another opportunity to do things yeah. right and to have law and order, to have government function, as Romans 13 tells us. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, isn't it just like the Lord sometimes to choose the least likely among us to be raised up and put in positions of leadership? We see that certainly throughout Scripture, those that don't look like what we would expect our leaders to be. And here we have a billionaire from Manhattan, New York City, raised up to lead the Republican Party. That's not on the bingo card, as you would say, for so many individuals looking at what would happen in our country. And it seems to be what the Lord did through a lot of supernatural oversight to bring us to this point today. And I recognize some of the concerns that the believers and non-believers have, certainly even agree with some of those or resonate with some of those. But we have to step back and look at the big picture here in so many different ways. And that seems to be what's taking place, looking at what Trump is doing now. We talked before the election about you're not just electing a president, but you're electing an entire administration with thousands of positions that are staffed and are filled by that person, including a vice president, all of the cabinet, all of the directors, all of the judicial positions and the judgeships all the way down the line, and how much influence that happens. So you're not just voting for Donald Trump, you're voting for literally thousands of people who actually do the day-to-day work of governing, and that we're just now beginning to see what that looks like playing out in real time with these early rounds of appointments.
Well, Scott, because you keep a good finger on the pulse of what's going on and you kind of know the nitty gritty of things in Washington, D.C., let's talk through some of these appointments and help our listeners know, okay, who do you think is good? Who do you think is questionable? So Susan Wiles as White House Chief of Staff. First of all, just a quick overview. What does that person do? Why is that such a critical position? And what did you think about her being tapped for that slot?
Well, the chief of staff is appointed directly by the president, doesn't require any confirmation, and that is the most important person next to the president inside the White House. That handles all of the staffing, all of the positions downstream within the White House, oversight to the deputies, all of those things as well, but also handles the day-to-day work of the president, the access that individuals have to the president, his schedule, those types of matters all throughout the day there. So this is a massively important position. It's also important to have someone that is totally and completely trustworthy, close to the president in this role, that it's vetting those who are around him and having influence and affecting his policies and those types of things nearby to him. So I'm very encouraged by this role. This is Susie Summerall Wiles and the daughter of NFL Hall of Famer Pat Summerall. She's very well connected to my church here in Dallas, Prestonwood Baptist Church, and Pastor Jack Graham, Dr. O.S. Hawkins, those individuals there as well. So she's close to the family, if you will. She's worked in the 2016 and the 2020 Trump campaigns, was a key player in those campaigns, but really was the leader of this campaign and led them to an unprecedented and historic victory. And so certainly it's appropriate for him to lift her up into this role. But she's a veteran, kind of GOP behind-the-scenes leader. She worked all the way back on the Reagan campaign back a long time ago, and so she's been in Republican politics for a long time, has her hand on the pulse of what's going on, and I'm truly excited about her in this role. So right off the bat, that was a great first move by the president-elect here.
And do you know her personally, Scott?
I don't. I don't know her personally, but I know several who do, and they all speak very highly of her, so we're looking forward to that.
As far as you know, she's a born-again believer?
I believe so. Yeah, she's in Florida currently and has worked on the DeSantis campaign for a little bit and now back to the Trump campaign there. So she's in Florida, but seems to be right in our sphere of people and have her head on straight, if you will.
Okay, how about Secretary of State with Marco Rubio, whom Trump affectionately called Little Marco when they were going up against each other in 2016?
Yes, that's a mixed bag. Certainly they've run against each other a few times, and so there's always a history of some hot blood there between candidates that run against each other. This seems to be a move, though, to unify the party, to bring some factions back together, and it does seem to be a good role for the senator here. He's very strong on China. He's very strong on Iran. He's strong on Russia. He's recently adopted positions much more close to the president-elect on the Ukraine-Russia conflict and trying to bring that to a quick conclusion there. And he's a staunch defender of Israel. And so when you look at his policies and where he fits into the international geopolitical stage, I'm excited about this one as well and look forward to what he'll accomplish in that role. Absolutely.
Okay, Scott, this is probably sharing my own ignorance, but how does, like, Mike Huckabee, ambassador to Israel, how does he interact with Marco Rubio, Secretary of State? How do the ambassadors connect with the Secretary of State?
Well, they would be subservient to that role in a sense of he would work on all international relations, all geopolitical relations. Mike Huckabee and Governor Huckabee here, I'm also tremendously excited about that. Could not have picked a better person, in my estimation, to be our ambassador to Israel. But he will be directly boots on the ground in Israel, working with the government there, with the prime minister there, and that government as a liaison to America. So communicating back and forth, able to represent our interests in Israel and Israel's interest to America. and really strengthening that relationship as our closest ally in the Middle East is under unprecedented attack right now, and it's a volatile time in the Middle East. So certainly the Secretary of State would be offering general oversight to those things, but specifically with Israel here with Governor Huckabee. And he's been going to Israel for decades now, has tremendous influence there, as well as with our leaders in this country. That's a great choice.
Do you see that the ambassador, like Huckabee, then he'll start living in Israel, or do you go back and forth? How does that work for ambassadors?
I believe so. Typically, they live in the country they're representing. There are representatives on the ground there, and they'll work from the embassy. Certainly, which president-elect or former president last time under his administration, Trump moved to Jerusalem and recognized as the rightful capital of Israel. He'll be on the ground there, working there, and providing us representation during this conflict and during all that's taking place there. And so I know that he's joked, he's spoken in our church and joked that he's a special advisor to his daughter, the governor of Arkansas, and that his special advice usually involves watching the grandchildren. And they'll have to find a new babysitter for the grandchildren. I think he's gearing up to be involved in a really strategic role here. We love Sarah Huckabee Sanders as well and are grateful for her work in Arkansas also. So it's great to have some of our people that we agree with and that are strong believers, followers of Christ, in leadership roles here. This is all an outpouring from the Trump administration and what he's accomplished.
Amen. How about Kristi Noem as Homeland Security Secretary?
You know, that's an interesting choice there. It's a mixed bag of what people think about Kristi Noem, but she's been a loyal supporter of the president in recent times here, and that seems to be a good fit as well. She's done a great job in her state and has led well there, and so she's tossed her hat in for a few different things, but I think she would do well at this role. And certainly she will be working hand-in-hand with Tom Homan, who's been appointed as the border czar. And so that role works together. The border czar is not an official position requiring legislative approval there, but her position will, and they will work together really to oversee closing up our border and handling our immigration crisis in this country. So I'm looking forward to that partnership there as well.
Okay, Pete Hegseth as Defense Secretary, he's been getting a lot of scrutiny from the liberal media, and who is this guy? He's a Fox News host, or, you know, that kind of thing, co-host at Fox News. They dismiss the whole fact that he served in the military and won 2 Bronze Stars and, you know, is a decorated Army hero. What do you think about having an outsider like that be the defense secretary?
I just think this is a lot of fun to see what's happening with Pete Hegseth. He's going to do an absolutely unbelievable job in that role. He has experience. He's served tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, but he's an outsider to the bureaucratic military kind of elites. He's written a book on getting woke out of the military, and so his heart certainly is getting our military back to a lean fighting force of what it needs to be and getting out of our Washington bureaucracy. He'll do great at this, and this is just vintage Donald Trump to bring in a total outsider, totally foreign to the D.C. community outside the Beltway. He's making major waves and putting his entire department under him. I'm thrilled to see what would happen. He's a soldier. He resonates with soldiers. He understands what it's like to be a soldier and to be fighting on the front lines, and is not a backroom bureaucrat. And so this is going to be a lot of fun to watch and see what happens here. But what a great choice that none of us really saw coming. A total surprise out of right field there.
Well, it seems, you know, Scott, I was thinking about this. So you have to have enough savvy in Washington to know that world, at least a little bit. But bringing in outsiders that are not corrupted by the system, it seems to me that's what we need in America.
It absolutely is. There is no shortage of people in Washington, D.C. who know how to work the system and or have their levers on the hands of power there. We need to bring in some outsiders that have a fresh perspective, that bring in a fresh vision and a heart to see some things change, and that's really what's happening in this lineup here. Tulsi Gabbard, I'm excited about, the National Intelligence Director. She was put on the terrorist watch list by the Biden-Harris administration when she switched her support to more Republican and conservative candidates. And now she's going to oversee that department that controls those lists and the TSA groups and those different groups. So just a lot of interesting moves here that seem to be balancing out what's been skewed for so many years.
Now, the one that's getting a lot of attention, Scott, is Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. What are your thoughts on him?
That was also a surprise. I generally like Matt Gaetz. He's a loyal supporter of the president. We'll see what happens here. We've approved, evidently, resource appointments in the Senate from the new leadership there, and so we'll see if they can get him through. He'll face some scrutiny, I believe, but I personally like what he stands for and what he does, and I look forward to seeing how that will work as well.
Yeah, he seems extremely smart. He's not... he doesn't seem overly sensitive if he hurts your feelings, which we need. We need people like that in government that are going to speak the truth in love. And if that makes you mad, so be it. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend, Dr. Scott Coulter. And we're talking about Trump's appointments in his cabinet and in his administration. So we're up against a break. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking to my good friend Dr. Scott Coulter, the president and founder of the Danbury Institute. And what I love about Scott is he is very astute on how our government works and what is going on and keeps his finger on the pulse. And so I like to have Scott on the program to talk about things going on in government. Scott loves the Lord with all his heart and has a wonderful wife and family. And so, Scott, let's talk about the Department of Government Efficiency. This is a an area that Trump has created. It's not a government office that's been set up, non-governmental role, I guess is how you would word it. But Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to eliminate waste in our government. That would be a 24/7 job without end, I think, because you know, the trillions of dollars we spend and so much of it is wasted. So give me your opinion on those two guys going after waste in our government.
Well, thanks, Pastor. This is one of the things I'm most excited about and is a benefit to all Americans here, as I believe all of these policies are. One of the things President-elect Trump is doing, which I think we can't overlook, is really broadening the conservative party. And he's broadening across party lines. He's bringing in people to the Republican Party that were not part of it before, but also broadening across generational lines. And this move specifically represents bringing in some of the younger generation, some of the younger leadership into his administration and bringing a seat at the table to this group that represents younger people and younger conservatives. And so I'm excited to see this. The Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, they're saying that that's a riff off of Doge and some of the Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. I don't follow or understand all of that as well as I should. That certainly seems to be interesting there coming from Elon Musk. A successful business person, a multi-billionaire, but someone who has never really been involved in politics. And when they were involved in politics, when he was, it was for the Democratic Party. And so he's brought Elon in under the opportunity here to make some real changes in our country, but also due to the widespread concerns about the direction of our country. When you look at Tulsi Gabbard coming over, Elon Musk coming over, these individuals from the Democratic Party coming into the Republican Party, it really speaks to the direction our country was headed, to what was happening, to the way we were spending money, to the way we were engaging in wars, all of these types of things, and the widespread appeal from crazy and insane back to normal. And we're seeing people jump on this position of normalcy and a return to making America great and strong once again. This department, specifically with Vivek and Elon here, is going to be an advisory role to the president, looking in and using some of their technology that they've created to find places of excess and waste and overspend in our government. That should be the easiest job anyone has. Those opportunities are abundant, and to make recommendations of where to streamline and downsize our government to save taxpayer money. That's the bottom line here, and so I'm thrilled to see what they do. Couldn't have picked two better people in all of this country to handle this role.
Scott, how does that work? So if they say this whole department is just a waste, can they just can the whole thing? What are the mechanisms you have to go about to do that?
They will be an advisory role, so they won't have the authority to close an entire department on their own, but they'll be a direct advisor to the president, speaking directly to him and working through the proper channels within the cabinet to close certain departments. Certainly Trump has committed to do that with several departments, including the Department of Education. And I'm supportive of that. I'm supportive of radically downsizing our government, outsourcing all that we can to the states and to local municipalities, and changing the bloat and the oversize of our bureaucratic systems in Washington, D.C. Trump has also said he wants to outsource a lot of these longtime Washington, D.C. established departments into various parts of the country and send some of them to Wyoming and Nevada and various places where the Democratic elites and some of these groups will be required to be in touch with everyday Americans. And I think that's a great idea. It's a humorous idea to watch how some of that will play out with some of these D.C. insiders moving to foreign locations in our country that they're not comfortable with, and more rural locations and all of those. But really to get in touch with the everyday American citizens will be a great move.
Well, Scott, I want to play a clip from an interview that was done with Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville, who is the senator from Alabama, the former football coach, college football coach. But he makes the case that the Senate needs to just do what Trump wants to do, because he got the mandate from the country to implement his people to make the changes. So let's listen to this clip, and then I want you to comment on it.
We have a mandate from the American people, a mandate not only to clean up the mess left by the Biden-Harris-Schumer agenda, but also to deliver on President Trump's priorities.
Okay, Republicans in the Senate voted for Senator John Thune to be the new majority leader in the Senate, but will he push for Trump's agenda in a hard way? Joining us now, Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville. Senator, it's a pleasure to see you again. Wonderful to have you on. What do you think? Will Senator Thune really push hard for Trump's agenda?
He has no choice. There was a mandate last week, Liz, that said, hey, we want President Trump to have his team. We want to take back our country. Republicans, if you're not on the team, get out of the way. John Thune will be on the team. He'll work with President Trump. I voted for Rick Scott because I thought he could communicate better with President Trump, because they were both in the business world. But John Thune got the nod. Let's go. We're not going to have a lot of time to waste. I think he'll do a good job. But again, President Trump and J.D. Vance are going to be running the Senate.
Yeah, basically you have 2 years into the midterm. So will Matt Gaetz get the votes in the Senate?
Well, that was Tommy Tuberville talking about confirming these guys. So, Scott, do you think that Trump is going to get much pushback from the Senate on some of these positions?
Well, there's not much opportunity for that with what happened in the election last week. You know, it's been a debate, I suppose, in the 2020 election and even the 2022 midterms, of whether or not being tied to President Trump was a help or a hindrance in your election viability there in 2022. Certainly some of the candidates felt like that was a vote weight on them, and that they did better to have separated from Trump. So that's always been, candidates have been unsure of what that does to them politically. It was very clear last Tuesday night that Trump carried the day. He carried the day with the electoral vote. He carried the day with the popular vote. He's carried the House now and the Senate all the way through on a presidential election. And a lot of, frankly, lower ballot issues that might have been a toss-up were carried positively our direction because of Trump being on the top of the ticket and people turning out to vote for him. So it's very clear that he was the one who carried the evening almost exclusively. He's built this coalition. He's broadened the Republican Party. And so this has radically shifted what the Republican Party is, what the GOP party is in our country, and the DNA of who we are as conservatives and as Republicans. This is not a time to combat that agenda. Republicans need to fall in line. They need to unify and move forward. The Democrats, the progressives in our country have always been unified. They always stand together. They always move as one voting block. And it's the Republicans that fight each other, block things, and that often can't figure out how to work together. This is not the time for that. We have to move together as one party. Trump has requested and made clear his strong support for recess appointments in the Senate, and all three candidates for leadership supported that opportunity. That's an older parliamentary trick, a political maneuver that's been in there from the beginning, but allows the president to make appointments while the Senate is in recess. Historically, the Senate would be in recess for long periods of time, and it would hold up government if you had to wait for them to be in session to make appointments of their consent. And so all leadership, including John Thune, has agreed to these recess appointments, which will allow President-elect Trump to move very quickly in establishing these positions and get people to work immediately. That's his goal there. And so I don't see much of a block from the Senate, but certainly with politics, you never know what will happen.
Well, that's very true. Scott, I've been saying that one of the key things in this election was freedom of speech. And we had Kamala Harris didn't like to talk too much about what she believed in, but she did believe in curtailing hate speech and platforms, social media platforms, namely, she didn't name it, but namely X and Elon Musk, what he was allowing on his platform. Obviously, that's not... That doesn't seem to be an issue now with Donald Trump because he is for free speech. There was a little clip from Joe Rogan where he was talking about this, and you know he likes free speech. This is what he had to say about Donald Trump's election and what he was hearing from other famous people that were afraid to support Donald Trump.
There's a lot of people that don't speak their mind. Do you know many artists that have reached out to me that are like hippies, man? Like artists, like musicians, comedians that thanked me for endorsing Trump because they can't do it.
Mm.
They said they want to, but they don't want to be attacked. They can't say it. They think the country is going in the wrong direction. They think that this control of social media by the government, which we would have had pretty much fully if it wasn't for Elon buying Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a dangerous precedent to set, whether it's a right-wing government or a left-wing government. And that what you see that's happening in the UK where people are being imprisoned for tweets and Facebook posts. The whole thing is nuts, and it's a dangerous path that we were on. We were on that path. Trump has vowed to have free speech become a very important part of what he's standing for, and that this censoring of information needs to stop, and that we need to stop all government influence in what people have to say.
Yeah, look,
that
shouldn't be as revolutionary as it is.
I know, it should be a core tenet of what, I mean, it's essentially the First Amendment.
It is essentially the First Amendment. Scott, I had somebody in my church tell me, he said, Pastor Jeff, I'm concerned for you because I feel like you may go to jail one day. And my comment was, well, I don't think it'll be in the next 4 years. But I think if Kamala Harris had been elected, that could have been a very real situation for lots of preachers that stand up and speak the truth in love, and for what you do at the Danbury Institute. So how do you see that, and how did you see that issue as it related to freedom of speech?
Your assessment here is exactly correct, and I resonate with your church member and his concern, although the next 4 years, I agree, we should be in a much better position. Just before we got on the radio here today, I saw an alert come across my screen that in Britain, that hundreds of people who have posted their views on Twitter and on X in Britain have been visited by the police department there and are looking into what they've posted. And that exactly is the path down which we were going. Certainly no one supports hate speech. No one supports treasonous speech. We're not for that. But those terms have been radically redefined and weaponized against people of faith, against Christians, against those who are simply teaching what the Bible says, speaking out about our biblical worldview, those types of things, and what the scripture says about certain sins and certain lifestyles. Those things have been labeled as hate speech. Those things have been labeled as domestic terrorism in instances. And our country is built upon the freedom of our conscience and the freedom of our speech, that no one can bind what we believe and what we believe in our heart and our faith, and no one can bind what we say. That we have the right to say what we believe and to speak out according to our views. And we were getting dangerously close in this country to losing those rights, to losing those freedoms. And we fought an entire war to secure those. Once you lose those, they don't come back easily. And so I'm grateful to the Lord for what's happened here, but we must protect our free speech. We must protect our freedom of conscience and our freedom of religion. I think Elon Musk did more than anyone has by buying Twitter and turning it into X and making it a true free speech platform that's not censored and that people can speak freely. He did a tremendous amount to go around the mainstream and legacy media that was censoring so much of what Americans believe and consume and hear and are able to say and the type of news they receive. So this is a great day for free speech and for freedom of conscience in this country.
You know, Scott, you and I are similar in how we see things as it relates to Elon Musk. You know, I have tremendous respect for that guy. Not only is he one of the most brilliant guys to have ever lived. I mean, the things he builds and accomplishes is just amazing. But his willingness to put everything on the line In supporting Donald Trump, in buying Twitter, spending $44 billion buying Twitter and turning it into the platform that it is. You know, what's disheartening to me as a pastor is when you see so many pastors that are unwilling to be courageous, and a guy like Elon Musk, who doesn't even know the Lord, who's willing to put everything out there. How do you see that? Why do you think we have so many guys in ministry that just seem afraid to do anything that might rock the boat?
That's the $10 million question, and really the purpose that we had in our heart in starting the Danbury Institute is to encourage pastors and churches to step out and to engage our culture and to be bold for the Lord and to make a stand for truth and righteousness and morality in our world today. If you look at the statistics, Pastor Jeff, if just a third of the Christians who don't vote would vote in our country and participate in our processes, we would never again, as conservative Bible believers, lose an election all the way from the presidency down to local school board officials. We would absolutely take back our country from the top to the bottom for morality, for biblical values, for truth, for freedom of speech, for the sanctity of life and of marriage and of our families. All of those things we would have enshrined and protected in this country. And so I lay a lot of the problems in our country, a lot of the difficulties at the feet of pastors and churches and Christians that have disengaged and have convinced their people that it is biblical and it's honorable to kind of go the monastic way and to disengage, put our head in the sand, and ignore what's happening around us. God called us to be salt and light in the world, to flavor, to give value and morality and preservation to our world and to what's good around us. And honestly, Christians are the ones who know what's true. We have morality from Scripture. We have goodness. We have a God who has taught us what's right and what's wrong. And we're getting outpaced by secular non-believers who are figuring out what's right and wrong and making a bigger difference in this country than believers in Christ are. It just shouldn't be that way. Our churches and our pastors have to step up and make a difference in these days.
Amen to that. Well, my guest has been Scott Coulter, the founder and president of the Danbury Institute. Scott, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for the work that you do, because you're in the trenches fighting for what is true and honorable and right, and to promote the gospel in all sectors of our country. So thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you, Pastor. Always an honor to be with you, and thank you for what you do. Love your church and your people.
Thank you. God bless. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. That was Dr. Scott Coulter as we talked about Trump's appointments. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we have been talking to Dr. Scott Coulter, the president and founder of the Danbury Institute. And Scott is always a joy to talk to, very, very knowledgeable, very smart, and understands the workings of government a lot better than I do. But we have been talking about Trump's appointments, and maybe you have a question or a comment. I'd love to hear from you. We're going to open the phone lines 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. I just want to tell you that I have people turned on to this program. I try not to miss it any day, so I thank you very much for what you do. But I am so excited, and I told her I called because I have never heard a coverage. So appreciate every person and how, you know, we're being told why President Trump has appointed them. It was so balanced and so beautiful, and I'm just sitting here, can't wait to just let people know they've got to, you know, get this program today and listen to it. I mean, I am so excited. Three of us pray together for this nation every Wednesday, and I have never, I mean, thank you, spot on this program today.
Oh,
can you tell I'm excited?
Yes. Well, I appreciate that, Linda. That's very encouraging. And thank you for listening, and thank you for telling your friends, and thanks for calling in today. Yeah, I knew that Scott was going to be on it when it comes to all these appointments, because he really watches this stuff. And as I said, I'm not as savvy in all the inner workings of government, and I don't think a lot of us are. That's why it's turned into the swamp, because people figured out how to do things that feather their own nest. And I'm grateful that Donald Trump, who's an outsider, is the president again. And I think God has obviously directed all these things to turn out the way they have and given America another opportunity. And such an opportunity for Christians, as Scott and I were saying, you know, the free speech was going to really be restricted and attacked if Kamala Harris had been elected. She was making that clear. She was going to come down hard on that and come down hard on hate speech. The only problem is that what is hate speech? It's anything that the left hates that you and I say. So preaching Jesus and preaching the Bible, well, that would be hate speech. How dare you say that nobody can go to heaven apart from a personal relationship with Jesus? How dare you say that homosexuality is a sin? How dare you say that transgenderism is a disease of the mind? All the things that are true and honorable and right, they would come after those things, and they would try and put people like me behind bars for doing that, and try to cancel you. And the ultimate cancel is if they take your life. And we know from reading the scripture, that's what they did in the book of Acts. They didn't like what was being said. They didn't like Stephen's sermon, so they stoned him to death. And our job as believers is just to be a faithful witness to the Lord. Let the chips fall where they may. We don't conduct our lives to please people. We conduct our lives to please Jesus. And so I appreciate you calling, Linda. Thank you so much for that. Well, we have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, brother. Always a pleasure talking to you and your guest. I don't necessarily disagree with either of you two gentlemen and what you said about Elon Musk. I think he did make a decisive shift in the election. However, I don't do a lot of social media, but I do have one that I use. It's called Gab, G-A-B, like the gift of. And it's run by a man that's a Christian, Andrew Torba. Now, on this site, he wouldn't bend to Apple or Google's dictates on building an application. So he is just on the website. So you have to go to the internet to access Gab. However, for years I've used it, and there is never, I mean, there's some, you know, conspiracy theories and things like that, but he doesn't get a mention because you have to access through the website. He refused to build an application that wouldn't be allowed. So he's built his own company and his own ability to have free speech. I know that American Family Radio, I found them on there, and they put out a lot of good information. I just, you know, I do agree. However, there are other free speech platforms out there that don't get a lot of recognition.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think with I don't do a lot of those other ones. I spend most of my time social media on X, do some stuff on Facebook, but not really engaging in news and things like that on Facebook. Facebook's more like, for me personally, is more like family stuff. But I think Elon Musk has done, he's done a great service to America in putting up his own money, in sticking out his own neck, and I appreciate that about him. And I do wish that more and more pastors would stand up and speak up. You know, we like tons of pastors. We like it when Tucker Carlson says what he says, when Jordan Peterson says what he says, when other guys stand up, Joe Rogan even, stands up and speaks up for things that are common sense, for things that are true. But then it's like, well, why don't the pastors do that? And that's the big question. We need to stand up. We need to speak up. As the old song says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And we dare not shrink away in fear and be worried about, well, I don't want to offend this person or that person or the other. Speak the truth in love and just trust the Lord and know that, you know, we don't purposely go about trying to offend people. That's not our goal. But our goal is to be faithful to the Lord, to speak the truth in love, and to help people. You know, I've had people tell me before, why do you talk about these issues? You know, just preach the Bible. Well, the Bible speaks about the issues of homosexuality and transgenderism, the issues of the day, abortion, obviously. And, you know, if you're not speaking the language that and hitting on the subjects that people are talking about outside of church, that the news is talking about, that culture is talking about, you present to the people in your church that God is out of touch with what's going on in the world today. And God is not out of touch. And God's word is fresh and relevant. And so we need to make that clear to them. And we need to say, hey, in these issues, what does the Lord say? And let people hear it and let people know so that they are well-informed and well-equipped and well-armed for the battle. And so I appreciate you calling in, my friend. Well, we have Starla on the line from Louisiana. Starla, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you. And my question, I'm driving out in the country, so can you hear me okay?
Yes, yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. My question is, Senator Tim Scott is such a wonderful Trump supporter, Christian man, biracial marriage, could have covered every, you know, wokeism, every, diversity it is. Has he been nominated to anything? Because that breaks my heart if he hasn't.
Not yet, to my knowledge. I was looking him up. So he's elected to serve as the NRSC chair, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, but that's not a Trump appointment. But I agree with you, Starla. I think Tim Scott is excellent. And so hopefully Trump will put him in a position of authority. He would do a great job. And he's doing a great job to speak for the truth in our government today. And so, that's kind of the situation on him right now. But you're exactly right. He's tremendous, and we need more people like Tim Scott. So God bless you, my sister. Thanks for calling in. Well, we have Caleb on the line from Oklahoma. Caleb, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Caleb?
I'm wonderful. I just appreciate your show. It's become part of my daily routine. I listen every morning. And I had a short comment about the Democratic Party of today and how it's changed so much over the years. And even some of my own family still stand behind that Democratic Party of, say, 40 or 50 years ago. And even in my own church, there are still people that stand behind that old Democratic Party. And my question is, like, how do we encourage these people to interact with them, to help them to see that the Democratic Party, like Reagan said, the Democratic Party left him.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we interact with them and get them to see?
Yeah, I have some friends like that too, Caleb. It's really difficult because they're so brainwashed and they're so closed to anything. I have this one lady in particular. She just said, well, you know, I love my father. My father always told me to vote Democrat, so I'm going to vote Democrat. I'm going to honor my father. And it's like, well, you know, that's where you get the phrase a yellow dog Democrat, where they said, hey, if the Democrats ran a yellow dog in the race, people would vote for the yellow dog because it doesn't matter. They don't care. It's just that they see the D and they're going to vote D. And I would hope that Christian people especially would say, wait a minute, I got to see what this person believes. And you're exactly right, as what Ronald Reagan said, the Democrat Party left me. The Democrat Party, their policies are straight out of Romans chapter 1, as John MacArthur said. They adapt a platform that is the sins of Romans 1. And how could any Christian support that? Answer, they couldn't. You know, it's not to say that the Republicans are this bastion of morality and everything true and pure and wholesome. I mean, you have bad players on both sides of the aisle, but the policies and the platforms that you have between the two parties are night and day. And so I think you just need to continue to hold up the truth. You know, Trump having a successful presidency, putting people in positions of power that are going to be responsible and make good decisions, having Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy start to cut all this waste that's in government. People will take note of that. I had one guy on social media. He said, well, what about the people that are going to lose their jobs? Shouldn't we be concerned about them if Trump starts cutting all this waste? And I said, well, listen, you can either cut waste or perpetuate waste. You can't have it both ways. And so my boss, when I was working in the chemical business, he told me, he said, Jeff, there's always a position for a person who's hardworking, who's responsible, who's intelligent, who's willing to roll up their sleeves and get after it. That person can always get a job. So you might work for a division of the government that is doing nothing and is going to get axed, but that doesn't mean that you can't find another job somewhere else, and then it, you know, it falls on you. You have to be the person that's hardworking and responsible and is going to get after it. So, good question, Caleb. I think that we just keep presenting the truth to people and pray that God would open blind eyes, that people would have an open heart to say, maybe I'm wrong in this. And maybe these people I think are so wonderful that they can do no wrong, that they would never, ever tell me a lie. Maybe the veil could be lifted, that they could see that there are a lot of people in the Democrat Party that are rotten to the core. They lie through their teeth. As somebody pointed out, with Joe Biden receiving Donald Trump to the White House and being very cordial with him, it's like, wait a minute, isn't he supposed to be Hitler? Didn't you tell us that his supporters are garbage and he's Hitler and he's a Nazi and a fascist and all that, and you're welcoming him to the White House? Oh, I guess, as Kamala Harris said one time in an interview when they called her out on some of the things she was saying about this person, she said, well, it was a debate. It was just a debate. It's like, well, okay, so in a debate, you get to just lie and smear somebody and just make stuff up just because it was a debate? No, you don't get to do that. I mean, we want politicians that are going to tell us the truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. So God bless you, my brother. We got about another minute or so. Let's go to Sherry in Texas. Sherry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. I sure enjoy your show every morning on my way to work.
Thank you.
For you and your guest, the question is, can you talk for just a second about, is it a possibility that President Trump could appoint another Supreme Court justice during his time in office?
Yeah, I think that's a very real possibility. I was hearing some things that said Clarence Thomas was thinking about retiring. And so that would be an opportunity for President Trump to put another solid conservative on the Supreme Court. you know, Clarence Thomas has been great. It's very sad that in the black community, you have some really stellar people that have made such an impact. Clarence Thomas is one. Thomas Sowell is another. And those guys never get any, they never get any accolades. They never get anybody, you know, talking about them in a way that really shows what they have done for the country. I think Thomas Sowell is one of the smartest guys who has ever lived as he talks through things. He's in his 90s now, but you can still glean from him. And nobody in the black community ever praises him, it seems. And they need to get praise because they have done some great, great things. So in answer to your question, yes, I think Clarence Thomas will probably step down in the next 4 years, and that gives Trump an opportunity. So another good reason why we have him in there. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. We're out of time. Go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.